This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome, everybody, to The Download. Chris Lingbach here with you on Saturday morning, August 24th, 2019, in our nation's capital. It's good to be with you this morning. An interesting week in D.C. sports. The Washington Nationals just continue to roll. Those bats are red hot, and you got to say it couldn't come at a better time as long as they're able to keep this going through September here. It should make for a very nice competition down the stretch here in the NL East, because you're talking about the Nats have a healthy lead on the Mets and the Phillies, but you know, that could all change based off of one series or another. The Braves just keep winning and keep winning at the right time, so the Nats can't seem to gain any ground on them, but they do still have seven games left to go against the Atlanta Braves. And don't forget, the Nats face the Phillies on the last week of the season five times in 4 days. One of those days is a doubleheader because of a rescheduled game from a previous rainout. So this has all the makings of just an incredible September finish here for the Washington Nationals. We don't know how things will go, but we know how they look now, and we know who they have to face. So I think it's going to be electric, honestly. And I don't know how much the casual DC sports fan who takes a glance at Major League Baseball, takes a glance at the Nationals, how much those people are paying attention to this or how much this is on their radar, but we are setting up for one hell of a final month of the national season here. The Redskins got their first win of the preseason. That's that's always important to get a win in one of these four meaningless games. But I'll tell you what, after watching them Thursday against the Falcons, you know, that is the proverbial dress rehearsal game where all the starters play for at least a quarter, sometimes a half, maybe a quarter in a series, give or take. You get to see for the first time the entire year, how your starters look compared to the starters of another NFL franchise. And I think that is meaningful. For as much as the game is meaningless, I think there is meaning to be found there. Case Keenum looked just about what Case Keenum has looked this entire time. Like, all right to good, I would say. And then another Dwayne Haskins performance where you go, wow, I can see why this guy was drafted in the first round. But that's also not to neglect that he's clearly not ready to start in the National Football League. And that's kind of what I wanted to get into to open up the show, just very briefly, is that we had this thought coming into training camp, even since the time that Haskins was drafted 15th overall by the Washington Redskins, is that you got Case Keenum, you got Colt McCoy. I guess where is the urgency to get Haskins on the field? And I heard Grant talking about this yesterday, and I think he captured the argument the way that it needs to be, which is acknowledge that we've seen big play potential from Haskins in the preseason in these three meaningless games. But if you're going to do that, you also have to acknowledge that he's missed a lot of throws. I mean, a lot of throws. You have to look at the complete picture. And what I think that he made a great observation about was, you see these guys with, like, Brian Balding or Baldy's breakdowns on Twitter, where he posts a video review and breaks down a play. Guys of that ilk at the national level, where they hone in on one great play and they explain to you why this is a great play. And so at the national level, everybody tends to just see, wow, Dwayne Haskins is making great plays, and here's why he's making great plays. And so there becomes this growing sense of maybe he's closer to being ready than he really is. And at the local level, you're seeing all of the plays, not just the great ones. And I think if you see all of the plays, you can probably, if you're being honest with yourself, acknowledge that Haskins isn't quite there yet. And that's okay. I don't see anything wrong with that. It doesn't make me feel like he's never going to get there. In fact, it's quite the opposite. He's building towards getting to the point where he is a starting caliber NFL quarterback. He's trending in that direction. That's all well and good. I don't really see the negative in that. And there has been a lot of people, I guess the word I could best use to describe it, they've been gun shy about being too enthusiastic about Dwayne Haskins since the time that he was drafted. Everybody acknowledged on draft day, wow, this is kind of a steal that he dropped to 15. Well, if we can acknowledge that, why can't we just acknowledge that, yeah, we're also a little bit nervous because this is the same team that quote-unquote ruined Robert Griffin III. Well, a catastrophic knee injury played a huge role in ruining Robert Griffin III. Robert Griffin III's ego played a huge role in ruining Robert Griffin III. If we're going to look at the past and use it to, I guess, guide our emotions for the future, then let's be honest about the past. And with Haskins, I think, I don't know when he's going to be ready, but I know that he's not ready now. And I look at their schedule, and I guess it's a little coincidental that I just brought up RG3, but the Redskins have a gauntlet, like a murderer's row, to open the season. And we knew that when the schedule came out. They're opening on the road at Philadelphia. Their first home game is against Dallas. By the way, I'm nervous just for the Redskins to see what that crowd's going to be like if the preseason is any indicator, which I don't think it is, but let's not forget the Colts game last year and how empty FedEx Field was for the Redskins' home opener. Then they got the Bears, a playoff team last year who knows where they would have gone in the playoffs if not for their unfortunate kicker. And then they travel to New York for the Giants. The Giants will probably be god-awful, but who knows? And then, obviously, they host the New England Patriots, which I don't think anybody needs to be explained to why that's a daunting game. But this schedule that the Redskins are opening with reminds me, screams 2013. And here's why. In 2013, Robert Griffin III's career path was altered forever. Remember, it was January of 2013 when RG3 injures his knee in the wild card game against the Seahawks. And it was 2013 where the Redskins had a week 5 bye, which, if you've got a starting quarterback who's coming off of a catastrophic knee injury and you need just a little window to buy him a little bit time to get fully healthy, that screamed at the time, don't start RG3 until week 5. And what happened? All in for week one. RG3's ego got in the way. Whether he was nervous about Kirk Cousins on his heels, opening the season for the Redskins in 2013, Griffin rushed back, had this epic training camp media war with his head coach and Mike Shanahan, where Mike's going, let's just take it easy. We'll see what happens. And RG3, the same day, the same press conference room, is going, I'm ready. I'm going to be ready for week one. I'm all in for week one. And I say that to say this. This schedule screams to me in the same way that that schedule screamed to me, don't rush him back. Don't rush him into the game. Why rush it? It is almost an identical situation in terms of the schedule and what the schedule is showing you to do. The schedule showed the Redskins in 2013 to sit RG3 until week six after the bye. The schedule is showing us not to play Dwayne Haskins, the rookie quarterback who we can all objectively look at and go, yeah, he's probably not ready. Sit him until at least week six after you face that murderer's row of opponents to open your season. It is screaming at the Washington Redskins to not start Dwayne Haskins. Now, we don't know internally what the Redskins think, right? And I guess we won't know until whenever an announcement is made about who's starting week one against the Eagles. But I'd be willing to bet that the coaching staff in the front office is probably in lockstep on this one, that Dwayne Haskins isn't ready to start in the NFL. I'd be willing to bet it. I'm not saying I know what they know. I obviously don't. I admit that. Maybe there's a big surprise coming. Maybe this entire past 11 and a half minutes has been a waste of time, and Jay Gruden comes out a week from now and announces Dwayne Haskins as the week one starter. But I'd be willing to bet that he doesn't. So to speak to that gun-shy feeling, we all know why Redskins fans are gun-shy about going all in on Dwayne Haskins. It's because they've been burned before. They still have that bitter taste in their mouths because there was I've never in my life seen the city rally around a player like DC rallied around Robert Griffin III. The hype, the enthusiasm was, now in retrospect, overblown, but it was overwhelming. And you don't see that for Dwayne Haskins. There are pockets of people here and there who feel that way. But you can feel it. You can feel the reservation. And the reservation is the consensus. So I'll leave you with this thought before we get into the show, the meat and the potatoes of the show. If we already know, based off of the visual evidence that we have, that Haskins is capable of making those big plays, and that his best is, in fact, better than Case Keenum's best, which I think we can all clearly say that it probably is at this point. Case Keenum is the stopgap. Case Keenum is the game manager. Well, look how the Redskins did last year, the game manager. Alex Smith got the Redskins to 6-3. Yeah, the offense looked horrendous at points. But Smith did just enough to not lose the game and give them as best a chance with that offense to win as they possibly could. Well, doesn't that scream to you that this is the exact same scenario? Now you're down a starting left tackle in Trent Williams. And we'll see how much Donald Penn has left in the tank, but I think we can all admit, too, that Donald Penn at his best is not as good as Trent Williams at his best. Well, then why would you want to logically rush Dwayne Haskins into that situation? If he's not consistent as consistent as Case Keenum is right now, given it's a given that his best is better than Case Keenum's, but he's all over the book. He's all over the map. Dwayne Haskins on a graph is up and down, up and down, up and down. Now, his ups go higher than Case Keenum's ups, but his downs are more frequent than Case Keenum's. Why force it? There's no need to rush this guy into the game. There's no logical reason to have him open the season as the Redskins starter. Use that gun-shy trepidation that you have in your gut to just make the right decision. Don't make the same mistake again. Don't force the quarterback in there too soon. You got a chance to kind of correct history here, I think, in some respects. You have a chance to, in almost an identical situation, make the right decision instead of the catastrophic wrong decision. And that's just how I feel about the situation. When we come back, our top five stories of the week from thefandc.com. These are the biggest stories in DC sports this past week, as determined by you, the loyal reader of thefandc.com. You're listening to The Download on 106.7 The Fan.
It's The Download with Chris Lingbach.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
On 106.7 The Fan and the radio.com app.
Welcome back to The Download. Chris Lingbach here with you. Don't forget, we still have the best segment in DC sports radio every week. Still to come in the Junkies Rewind. That'll be next segment. Let's jump into our top five most read stories of the week from thefandc.com.
It's time for The Download Countdown. The five most read stories this week on thefandc.com.
Let's do this.
Number five.
Capital star Evgeny Kuznetsov has been suspended from international play after testing positive for cocaine. The International Ice Hockey Federation announced on Friday. Kuzi has been playing for his home country of Russia this summer and tested positive back on May 26th. Now, it's the timing of the positive test that really, I think, causes us to revisit an incident from early in the summer on May 28th, 2 days after Kuzi tested positive. That is when a video surfaced on social media of Kuznetsov sitting in what appeared to be a hotel room next to a table that had lines of white powder and a rolled-up dollar bill. At the time, Kuzi confirmed the legitimacy of that video, but claimed, quote, "I have never used drugs and I am not going to get involved in this," end quote. Kuznetsov did say the video was from the summer of 2018 in Las Vegas. So let's be fair to the situation. He said that he left the room when the drugs appeared. Even if that timeline holds up, here's what we now know. Kuznetsov was lying when he claimed he had never used drugs. The NHL at the time cleared Kuzi of any wrongdoing. Kuznetsov has accepted his suspension from the IIHF and has agreed to meet with NFL Commissioner Gary Bettman prior to the start of Caps training camp. And the NHL says it will not comment or take any additional action until after it's had a chance to sit down with Kuznetsov. The Caps released the following statement on Friday. "We are committed to ensuring he has the necessary support required to work through this situation. We will remain in contact with the NHL as they determine the next steps. Because of the sensitive nature surrounding this matter, there will be no further comment from us at this time," end quote. That's the statement from the Washington Capitals on Evgeny Kuznetsov's 4-year ban from the International Ice Hockey Federation. So Kuzi cannot participate in Worlds, which is something that him and Ovechkin have been huge about throughout their careers for the next 4 years, because he has accepted the suspension for cocaine use. You can read more about this at thefandc.com/capitals, thefandc.com/capitals.
Number four.
All good things must come to an end. The boys from Loudoun South were rolling on their Cinderella run in the Little League World Series. The kids are from South Riding, which is right on the border between Fairfax and Loudoun County. Counties. Loudoun South rolled over the boys from Coon Rapids, Minnesota last Sunday. Mercy ruling them with an 11-0 victory. Playing for a spot in the U.S. final on Thursday, Loudoun South would run into a buzzsaw against Louisiana, getting no hit, and Mercy ruled themselves, ending their run in the Little League World Series. A great ride, to be sure, but one that ended just short of glory. Great local story, and you got to be happy for those kids for making it as far as they did.
Number three.
Our buddy J.P. Finley of NBC Sports Washington dropped some knowledge about the Redskins and receiver Josh Doctson during an appearance on Roster Watch, a show on SiriusXM's Fantasy Channel earlier this week. J.P. was asked if the ship has completely sailed on Doctson or if there's any hope that the former first-round pick can turn things around this season. Finley had this to say, quote, Gruden can say whatever he wants. The team made a pretty big action when they didn't pick up the fifth-year option on Josh Doctson's rookie deal, so he's going to be a free agent after this season. Now, here comes the nugget from J.P. What I can tell you from sources, they've tried to trade Doctson for 2 years. They haven't been able to trade him. It wouldn't shock me if they're still trying, if there's still calls going on about that, end quote. So that is confirmation that the Redskins have, at multiple points in the past 2 years, attempted to shop Josh Doctson. At the very least, seeing what he's worth, if anything, in a potential trade. I think that may provide some sort of context about how the Redskins regard Doctson. Remember, we entered training camp with the feeling that he's like, I guess for lack of better phrasing, a fringe bubble player, where he could be a bubble player, but really, all things being equal, he's probably on the roster just because of his experience at this point and his contract. But I think it's fair to question if maybe that perspective is a little off, when we now know that at points in the past 2 years they've tried trading him. I think that changes things a bit. No matter what JP says to try to downplay this, JP would go on to clarify on Twitter after we published this story that, quote, I've said this at least 5 times on my podcast. If you're not listening, you should be. And then a little while later, he also added, want to be clear, too. This news is old. Last training camp, trade deadline 2018, it's been talked about by me and John Keim, and I'm sure others, end quote. And just so that I'm clear, I did an extensive Google search before running this story. If JP and or others had talked about Josh Doctson being floated on the trading block before, they certainly never bothered to put it in print. Just a quick thing on this, because I was talking with my buddy Tom Daly about this the other day. I've always said this, and I'd say about 4 or 5 years ago, there was this influx of negative old stories coming out about the Redskins. And I'd write them up, and you know, people in the comments, some people would laugh and go, typical, and other people would go, it's old news, focus on now, focus on today. And my argument has always been to those people, if you were intentionally deprived of important information 3 years ago as a fan, then it's certainly above board today for us to go back and let you know on what information you were deprived of. If you're a fan, why wouldn't you want to know that stuff? You were kept in the dark before, and so now we're going to go ahead and revisit that situation, here's the picture you had, and here's what really happened. And I think that logic applies here as well.
Number two.
Not since players were due to report to training camp has Redskins team president Bruce Allen spoken publicly about Trent Williams. That is nearing a month ago, if you're keeping score at home. Since the top brass has addressed the biggest concern of the Redskins offseason, his starting left tackle of the past decade, a seven-time Pro Bowler and team captain, just choosing to not show up. The two times Allen has addressed the holdout, he's been short and dismissive, cryptically telling a reporter in June, "I know what the truth is," while declining to divulge what that entailed, and in July, laughing off a report indicating that Williams did not intend to report to camp. Quote, "Players are reporting tonight and in the morning, and we expect him." That's what Allen said on July 23rd, on the eve of Redskins training camp, before blithely thumbing his nose at any follow-up questions. Williams did not report, obviously, and he still has not reported. The Redskins begin their regular season against the Eagles in just 2.5 weeks, and still no Trent Williams. Jay Gruden, through this all, has been the humble human shield, hung out to take all the bullets from inquiring minds and reporters, to answer repeatedly for Williams' continued absence. And that brings us to Washington Post columnist Barry Svrluga's scathing commentary about Bruce Allen to Chad Dukes on Wednesday.
Are you surprised that the Trent Williams situation is still going on? The last time we heard a member of the front office speak on this, it was Bruce Allen saying he was going to be there for training camp. That certainly wasn't the truth. And what's happening now is what always happens, is that the coach is being left to twist in the wind as everybody just asks some questions, which the front office should be addressing. We haven't heard from Trent. We haven't heard from the Redskins. Are you surprised that we are here right now?
Well, no, really. One, exactly what you said about Jay Gruden being left to address a situation that is not of his making and it's not of his responsibility, I think is reprehensible. I think it's disgusting that Bruce Allen has not said anything. And what he has said has been bold-faced lies. And so you can't trust any. I mean, at one level, it's disgusting that he hasn't said anything. On the second level, if he said something, you can't trust it anyway. So what good is it? So you're in this kind of cycle of evil with that. I'm not sure really what leverage Trent has, given that, you know, if you're trying to force a trade, and it appears that's what he's trying to do, you know, an opposing team is not trading for a 24-year-old Trent Williams. They're going to look at his stat sheet as much as you can look at stats for an offensive lineman and notice that he hasn't played 16 games recently. There's a lot of tread on those tires. I do understand him, you know, being upset about this medical situation. And, you know, I can understand a guy vowing never to play for an organization again if it's as serious as some of those reports have indicated. So in that case, it feels very late in training camp and feels like it's close to the season, but there still are, you know, the opener is September 8th and it's only August 21st. Am I surprised that we're here right now? No. Would I be surprised if he never plays for the Redskins again? I think I would be, and I might be in the minority of people, and there are people who have done much deeper reporting on this than I have. But I just don't think that the Redskins are going to be to get the return on the investment, return on a trade that they think would be appropriate. And I don't think that Trent Williams is going to forever not receive game checks and not make more money that he is due if he plays in the NFL. That's just a guess, kind of a logic-based guess, but it would be mine at this point.
Of course, you can read more about that at thefandc.com/Redskins. When we come back, the top story of the week from thefandc.com. And don't forget, the best segment in sports radio every week, the Junkies Rewind. You're listening to The Download on 106.7 The Fan.
The Download with Chris Lingbach.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
On 106.7 The Fan and the Radio.com app.
Welcome back to The Download, final segment on the show. If you can afterwards, please support the show by downloading the podcast. Just head to iTunes, type in Overtime on 106.7 The Fan, and look for The Download. And then go ahead and hit download. I just explained this to my mother the other day, and I got to tell you, it renews my faith in humanity a little bit to know that in an age where everyone has their own podcast, please check out my podcast, that there are still people, human beings out there who have never heard of a podcast.
And now, the number one story this week on thefandc.com.
For the second time in just 3 weeks, a Redskins preseason game channel guy has taken the top spot on The Download. Redskins versus Falcons, TV channel time, announcers, and more is our number one story of the week on thefandc.com. More than anything this week, people flocked to thefandc.com to find out who the Redskins are playing, what they're playing in. The answer to that one would be a preseason game, their third of the year. Where they're playing it, well, that would be in Atlanta, in the Mercedes-Benz Dome or whatever it's called. And when and on which channel can I find them? Just destroying total traffic for everything else. Google is a beautiful thing, folks, and it helps keep guys like me employed so I can sit here and babble to you on a Saturday morning. That is our top story of the week from thefandc.com. Of course, that means it's time for our Junkies Rewind.
The Junkies Rewind on The Download.
Yesterday, we gave AWOD what he needed, attention dollars.
Yes.
And it was, of course, negative, mm-hmm. but he likes those attention dollars.
Certainly does.
And then beyond the segment, which is grilling him about his non-existent dating life.
Yeah.
The boys during one of the breaks, I guess, got a hold of his spending.
Mm.
And Cakes has the receipts right now, but you were mentioning how your son wanted Uber Eats.
Popeye. He Uber Eats all the time, but the Uber Eats Popeyes is a bit much.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry. That's where I draw the line.
It's not the spending. I'm not worried about the spending. I'm worried about the food consumption going on.
Well, I mean, this is somewhat scattershot, and I'll just try to go through it somewhat quickly.
So we have some of the receipts from Adam Epstein, who we learned has gained about 40 pounds since he started working here a couple years
ago. Let's start with his order from Ragtime on July 5th at 7.04 p.m.
Okay, shoes. Ragtime, a bar.
Yes.
We've been there many times.
They serve food as well.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
He ordered shoestring fries and wings, and that cost him $29.50.
For wings and fries?
Is that a bar?
According to this receipt, that's what it cost.
Jesus.
You really do light your money on
the fire. Next receipt
must
that
have
I
been
have.
The jumbo wings.
Must have been the jumbo wings.
We used
wings.
To go to Cluck U and get them for like $10.
Okay, that
bucks.
Also was the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Do you get wings for $30?
No.
Bucks?
But he's also probably this. Wings are expensive. They're more expensive than you think.
To be fair,
we used to get them free at happy hour.
Are you on site there? That's probably.
Is he even talking about 94th Aero Squadron happy hour?
It's not the only place that would do it.
But that also probably includes a tip, right?
I don't know, it just says bar. Total of $29.50.
Because they charge an outrageous fee. The Uber Eats fee.
I'm sure it's high. July 15th from Kraft Grilled Cheese House in Arlington. Didn't even know that place existed.
That sounds amazing, though.
He ordered chili and a grilled cheese wasn't enough. He had to go for a bacon cheddar grilled cheese. Throw some bacon on top.
That sounds delicious.
That was $28.44.
$28 for a grilled cheese?
See, to me,
is that all he got?
One bacon cheddar grilled cheese and one order of chili. Now, unless the chili bowl is this big.
It's the spending.
Oh, my God.
I told you, he's got new money. He's not used to having new money, and so he's spending it all.
Now, this is July 19th.
Are these all when you're drunk, or are these like your dinners? I mean, both.
I mean, the first order was at 7.04 p.m. The second one was at 6.47 p.m. He's very consistent.
Oh, yeah, so that's
order
just dinner.
Order number three, this is another dinner, 6.38 p.m. on July 19th from a Lost Dog Cafe in South Arlington. He ordered guac and chips and one individual 9-inch pizza, $28.32.
You pummeled that whole pizza by yourself, didn't you?
Hey, stupid.
I mean, you are eating yourself out of house.
Have you ever gone to the grocery?
If you walk to those spots, he's probably saved $6, $7.
Hey, it's the pizza in tonight.
Have you ever? It's not about that.
Do you
sometimes,
go to the grocery?
This is how pathetic I am. Sometimes I'm on my way home, and I order it while I'm driving.
Okay.
Like, I Postmate and drive.
I'm asking you a serious question. Do you go to, like, Harris Teeter or Safeway or anything like that?
I do go to Harris Teeter.
What do you buy? Like, what do you have? Or you like ROM and you just have, like, Burger King?
No, so I went recently, and this week I've been trying to cut down on ordering. So this week I picked up angel hair pasta.
Right.
And
silly noodle
silly vodka sauce and meatballs.
That's it? Do you buy, like, your staples, like vegetables?
So I got...
Like bread, milk.
There's not a lot of vegetables
on
these orders.
I don't buy bread.
You don't buy bread?
I bought...
Why don't you buy bread, cheese, a little butter or corn oil, and you make your own grilled cheese?
It would probably be hard there. I buy...
Learn how to make a nice grilled cheese.
It's not hard to make grilled cheese.
Yeah, you can make a silly.
I mean, a chimpanzee could make a grilled cheese. It's not difficult at all.
You could save yourself $30.
My essentials are, I get onions, mushrooms.
No wonder you're so stinky.
I get two types of cheese, and then... Whatever kind of, like, meat.
What do you do with the onions and the mushrooms? What are you doing with them?
Cutting them up and throw them in the pasta.
In your angel hair pasta. Your noodle-roni pasta.
Yeah.
Is there any sauce? Like a red sauce you throw in?
Vodka sauce.
Yeah, remember
vodka sauce.
I don't even know
it's
vodka.
It's so much better than marinara.
It's like it's almost like an orange flavor, orange colored sauce.
It's good.
What a lot more calories.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's so much creamier and fattier.
It's a little bit floofy.
I mean, I'm just going to have to go speed floofy. Around on the rest of these.
What's floofy?
You made up a word.
Just listen
to... Floofy's like hoity-toity.
You mean foofy?
Yeah, foofy.
Get rid of
Not
the
floofy,
L.
stupid.
God, he's the worst.
Floofy.
He tries to hang with...
I'm sure...
He's so floopid.
Yeah. and I'm sure jarred salsa or jarred marinara sauce is floofy.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I'm sure $6 jarred vodka sauce.
I don't think he's buying Rayo's. I don't think he's buying $6 or $7 a jar
it's three
of sauce.
Bucks. It's not floofy.
He's buying ragu, is what he's buying.
Yeah, ragu.
Yeah.
Ragu's floofy.
Yeah.
Dummy.
All right, I have to speed round these because.
Oh, no, I'm enjoying it.
No, yeah, let's enjoy this.
All right, Meatball Hero.
What is that a restaurant?
This is from Witch. I don't know what that is.
It's a sandwich, a meatball sub.
Yeah, meatball sub.
He likes meatballs. I've learned. Because remember, he bought the meatballs from Harris Teeter, and now he's eating meatball subs.
Right.
Chipotle Mexican Grill, side of guac, steak burrito bowl, something else I can't read. Pete's New Haven style pizza.
By the way, how much did that go for?
I don't have prices on these. Okay. I just have the
orders. It got cut off.
Mozzarella Frida. Cutler's Pizza, medium. Chipotle, another order. Side of guac. He loves sides of
guac. Like the guac.
Hey, it's the pizza tonight.
Where are you on the, where's he getting that from? Chipotle, right?
That's Chipotle.
Where are you on the Chipotle chips and salsa and then the cheese and queso?
Queso's not great.
You don't love it?
I tried it once and it was terrible.
I think it's universally been panned.
It's no Moe's.
Yeah. I kind of like it. I mean, it's an acquired taste.
Okay. Pete's New Haven style pizza. He goes back there again. He gets not only pizza, crispy chicken tenders as well.
Hold on, you got a pizza and
tenders.
Oh, did he get a full
now,
pizza?
Now, that might have been when I was ordering
it just
for
says
two.
Cutler's pizza. Cutler's pizza, right. Whatever that is.
So sometimes with these orders, I team up with my roommate who will have a few slices and then we'll split the chicken.
All right.
Mostly,
his belly look like yours?
No, he's in good shape.
Yeah,
he's going through this quick.
Is this all in a week?
No. Some are like in July. Some are in June.
It looks like he's doing this kind
once
of
a week, once or twice a week.
His August page is quite prolific.
And a lot of pizza lately.
Everything has
cheese.
On August 19th, what is Juarez? I don't know what that is.
Oh, the Juarez? I used to work at Uncle Julio's, so I'm a mark for their menu.
Hold on, used to work at Uncle Julio's. What did you do there?
I was a silly waiter.
You were a waiter.
Yeah, I walked around like this, and
can you imagine that dummy
him taking your order?
How many orders did you butcher?
I didn't butcher any orders, but I did drop the food a few times.
can you imagine an eczema arm walking around?
What was your best night in tips?
$200.
It's pretty good
because the Juarez is silly. It comes with
what do you call it? Ribs, like baby back ribs,
right?
And a steak fajita. So you get rice, you get your guac, sour cream. It's the best combo on the
menu.
How
much did that go for?
It does, these don't have prices.
I memorized that one. It was $25.99.
On the 17th, he had Shake Shack delivered, fries, whatever the Smoke Shack is, and a hot dog.
He had a burger and a hot dog.
What is the Smoke Shack? Is that like a
it's
half
a
smoke?
Bacon, egg, and cheese. I mean, a bacon and cheese burger with peppers.
I can't believe how much he's spending because he's going to restaurants. Like there was a when I was separated.
He's also going to bars.
When I was separated, I lived by myself.
He got a burger
and a dog.
Nights
when I didn't have the kids, I didn't order food from restaurants.
By the way,
I went to places like Jerry's, and I would go there
on the 17th of August. He had that meal from Shake Shack, and he also ordered from Silver Diner. Boneless fried chicken.
That was later in the night.
So
that was after you came back.
I specifically remember that day. That was a Saturday, and I woke up extremely hungover, and I believe I ordered the Silver Diner first.
It doesn't have time.
Yeah.
That's your
time.
Breakfast.
The Silver Diner was my brunch to cure the hangover. It had a lot of grease and bread. And then the second one was a late lunch and a dinner, linner.
And rounding out, this is late July, he went to All About Burger or had it delivered, had a bacon cheese dog, fries small, so he's showing a little bit of restraint there, but then he re-raises with some sort of chocolate shake, I'm assuming.
You know, if there's
it just
a
says
God,
chocolate.
This is how I know there's a God. If your cholesterol is 500, that's the only way I'll know there's a God, because you have to have a cholesterol of about 500. And you have to have high blood pressure, and you have to be literally on the doorstep.
I don't see one salad on this list. Do you see a salad on these lists?
No.
Is there one leafy green vegetable anywhere in the
Yeah, the lettuce on the burger.
Do you make anything at home? Anything? Or is every meal
a week?
Every meal is basically takeout or fast food?
No. I cook, or I get some nubs, like a Lean Cuisine from Harris Teeter, and have that.
All right, so
but
usually that's not
cooking. I have to usually have two Lean Cuisines to fill
you're
me
not
up.
Getting enough Lean Cuisines. I can probably tell.
Yeah. It's a very un-Lean Cuisine.
It's more cuisine,
are
not
you
enough Lean.
Two or three Lean Cuisines?
No, he just said he has two Lean Cuisines because one doesn't fill him up.
So you're more amazed by the consumption. I'm more amazed by the spending. For a guy who's got no money, he's spending way too much money going out to eat. He should be going to the grocery store.
He's just stupid.
Walking to a place. Right. He lives in Arlington with all these places around him. He would be saving so much money if he just ate on the
spot. I'm just amazed that, like, your mother or somebody didn't kind of teach you how to cook a few things. You know,
like three staples.
Like survival skills. Like, you know, just like how to – do you even know how to cook chicken?
Yeah.
You do.
Chicken.
Did you buy some chicken breast or – I like chicken thighs. It's not as good for you, but that's what I like.
I don't get sized for the time it takes.
I can hear you there.
I mean,
I understand
that.
Like meal prep.
The biggest thing is when you cook, you got to clean. And that – is a pain in my ass.
Yeah, but you're cooking for one. It's not like you're doing.
Right. So you still have to use like two different plates and three different pans and.
Right. What about like salads? Do you ever buy
not
like
if you're
lettuce?
Just grilling chicken or
you ever
you
even
throw
eat
chicken
a salad?
On a skillet.
Have you ever even ordered a salad?
Do you know what a salad looks like?
Yeah, I just don't get sized, and I don't like any vinaigrette, so I stay away from salad.
You don't...
I feel like I need a type of potato with every meal.
It looks like it.
It's a big old starch with every meal.
That's why you have that super long belly button. All right.
Yeah. I mean, EB's got long fingers, and I think you put 3/4 of a finger in your belly button.
It looked like a porno what EB was doing to his belly button.
No, to his second knuckle.
Now that's pretty
second
substantial.
Knuckle. Yeah, it was good. It was tight.
Okay,
it was
how much have you gained in the? All these years in radio.
First of all,
I see the old pictures. You used to look like Trav.
Lashing out.
This is time honored tradition.
By the way, Kix is over 23, 24 years. Right. This is over 3.
I'm almost 50. You're not even 30.
Yeah, you're like 25 and you look terrible.
Just saying, you guys don't look that great either.
I think for the most part, we look pretty good. For our age, I think we look pretty good.
Until you take your hat and your headphones off.
He's just trying too hard.
50 Shades of Gray up there.
Right. All right, let's go real quick. Let's go to Jimmy in Silver Spring. He's been on hold for a while. Jimmy, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. First of all, I'd like to tell you that McDonald's has upped their game. You can get their quarter pounder. You can get a tomato, fresh produce, a nice onion, tomato, and a pickle.
So you feel like you're eating clean?
Well, you know, it tastes better. It's not like the usual quarter pounder.
Okay, gotcha.
Anyway, guys, listen, I got God bless Bish. I wish he could hear this. Yesterday, I got a three-team parlay in baseball. This is a me story, but three-team parlay in baseball. The Phillies were plus 150. Mm-hmm. The White Sox were plus 170, and the Tigers were plus 435.
Right,
and $20 got me back 702.25.
Nice. And you hit it?
I hit it. Yes, 430. The Tigers plus 435 was the biggest underdog in 15 years.
Wow,
that's a nice score. Yeah.
And you jumped all over it. Now, do you typically do that? It's a me thing. Do you typically jump on the dogs like that and parlay them?
I only had 20 in the account, so I just took some puppies.
He was down to the numbers. Yeah. It all into the parlay and it hit.
You're swinging for the fences. All right, God
swinging
bless you,
swinging for
man.
The fences.
Yeah, good.
Hey,
for you.
Thanks for taking my call, boys.
Yeah,
take
thanks,
care, man.
Yep.
I mentioned this to EB during the break because they were showing the highlight. Bryce Harper hit another home run. He's up to 27.
Yeah.
He's still only hitting 254.
Yeah,
so he's not having a great year, but the power numbers at the end of the year are going to be
there.
He's
all right. He'll give you a few thrills this season.
And they're not going away. The Mets and the Phillies both trail the Nationals by 3 games in the wild card, 1.5 from the second
wild card
spot.
I can honestly tell you, I miss Bryce Harper not at all. Does anybody here miss Bryce Harper?
I don't think most of the fan base misses him.
But you're going to
be Rick when Rendon leaves.
I'll miss him because he's a good dude. I'll miss him.
If he leaves.
Oh, he's leaving.
Probably so.
But I'll miss him.
The Chunkies Rewind. On the Download.
That's my time. This has been another episode of The Download. Please check out the podcast. Head to iTunes. Search Overtime on 106.7 The Fan and find The Download. Of course, you'll find not just my podcast there, but of course, all of the other hardworking hosts who aren't quite primetime material just yet in their radio careers. We need attention too. I'll see you guys same time next Saturday. Bye-bye.
It's The Download with Chris Lingbach on 106.7 The Fan and the radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.